Today on the Dark Side of Matthew Coleman's wife says he got significantly more paranoid while researching QAnon before child's murders. Utah man allegedly runs over and kills wife in airport parking garage while under the influence. South Carolina security guards accused of trying to poison a boss with eye drops. And a creepy person of the week. Carol's got it for us today on Dark Side of.
Sometimes the human mind goes to dark places. Sometimes those dark delusions turn into a reality. A reality so shaded and gray, once all is said and done, the healthy mind is drawn into the documented retelling of these tragic events, trying to find logic, reason, and understanding where there may be none at all. This is the Dark Side of.
That indeed it is. Welcome to the program. Be sure to press subscribe wherever you download podcasts so you don't miss any episodes of the program. Leave us a review there in Apple Podcasts as well. We greatly appreciate that. Tony and Carol with you on today's episode of the show. What's going on?
Hey, friend.
Hey.
Well, excuse me, not too much. I have allergies. The wind's been blowing about 70 frickin' miles an hour here today.
Oh, yeah.
All kinds of crap up. In fact, yesterday, about 2 miles from my house, there was this major fire, like explosions and everything. And with the winds, like it just gave like this really creepy, like I took a super creepy picture of my dog with the sun, just this round ball in the sky because there was so much smoke. But it's that Coleman plant that you used to drive every day by to go to work.
It was burning?
Burning.
Oh.
Yeah. And it was more of a loading dock, like somebody on a forklift hit a propane tank. Never a good idea.
Yeah.
And shit started blowing up. But everybody was okay, but it was kind of crazy. Anyways.
My goodness. That's a huge building.
It is. And it was a huge fire. I'll send you some video later.
Oh, wow. So
I found a creepy person of the week this week that I thought I'd share. Because it's not like anything these people do are necessarily criminal. It just gives me the creeps.
Mm-hmm.
And this seems like a type of place where I could share that.
Yeah, so, I think that's kind of what we do here.
So my creepy person of the week is U.S. Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene. She's a Republican of Georgia. And there's the reason she's creepy to me is two different reasons. She kind of says a bunch of shit. She kind of spews a lot of shit. I don't always think what she I don't know. I can't decide with her if she just says it for attention or if she means it or what. But Judge Ketanji Brown, who is now Ketanji Brown Jackson, who is now a Supreme Court justice. She will be soon. That made me really happy. Seeing a black woman on the Supreme Court, I think is amazing. And I think she's qualified. So I was very excited about that. And then Marjorie Taylor Greene came out and said any senator voting to confirm her is pedophile, just like she is. And I'm like, nobody's pro-pedophile. Nobody's like, yay, go pedophiles.
No.
Like, that's creepy to me, right? And it's like...
It's creepy to me that anyone would believe that.
Right? And it's not just that. It's like, it's throwing around something that, you know, you're saying something that's so absurd, it's not true.
Mm-hmm.
Because she's not like, yay for the pedophiles. She's not for them. Nobody's for pedophiles. And I think it just is so
out of touch with reality and human beings.
It just kind of bothers me about throwing that term around, just like, oh, you're a creep. It's a really horrific thing. That is a horrific thing. That is a horrific thing to say about anyone.
And
so she said that. And then
that's like saying someone's like pro-rapist or something.
She was a twofer. So for me, that's why she's creepy to me. But the whole thing about this defining what a woman is, which is so stupid because what really all these people are trying to define is what is a female?
Yeah.
But they're all trying to define what is a woman. Mm-hmm. And one person said, you know, well, of course, a woman has a uterus and all this. And I'm like, dude, I don't have a uterus. Mine was removed. don't have one. So I guess I'm not a woman, but if I was a woman, but Marjorie Taylor Greene said, I'm going to tell you right now what is a woman. We came from Adam's rib. God created us with his hands. We may be the weaker sex. We are the weaker sex, but we are our partner's, our husband's wife. Like, I am not shitting you. She said that this week.
Wow.
Okay, number one, I'm not married. Mm-hmm. So by we are our partner's, our husband's wife, I don't have that identity. I don't have a uterus. I am so fucked here. I'm obviously not a woman. I'm having some problems. But the whole, we may be the weaker sex. We are the weaker sex. You know, like physically, yeah, I probably couldn't arm wrestle most men.
Sure.
But mentally?
It's such a stupid thing to say. I mean, it's like, are we only judging character by physical strength?
Yeah.
No.
So to me, she really creeped me out this week.
Yeah.
So that's why I picked her, because she had two doozies and I disagreed with both of them. Like just throwing around calling somebody, yeah, you're for pedophiles. That really bothers me because nobody is. You know, anybody who is for that is obviously a pedophile. And because people voted for this woman on her merits doesn't make them a pedophile.
Yeah. Well, I guess if she's gonna say shit like that, then I guess we can call her pro-rapist. Because here's how that would work. With all the states that are banning abortion, including if you've been raped, then if you're doing that, you are pro-rapist. And I don't believe that. I don't believe that. I think it's a very misguided decision and horrible, but I don't think anyone is like truly pro-rapist. It's just a very ignorant thing to do. And very, very small-minded. But that the thing is, the Democrats are not going to come around and go, they're pro-rapist, because they're just not. Maybe they should.
That, you know, in my head, I like to think senators and Congress people are smart.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, these are people who have studied the law, the Constitution. They're there to represent our best interests. And when I hear people talking like this, that really, really bothers me.
Mm-hmm.
Because now, whether you personally agree with this woman getting elected into the Supreme Court, you can have your opinion. It might not be the same one I have.
Yeah.
You know, I don't particularly like Brett Kavanaugh, but he's a Supreme Court justice.
Mm-hmm.
He got it fair and square.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not here to bag on him. People voted for him. They get to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, if somebody votes for the other presidential candidate than I voted for, you get to do that.
Sure.
That's who you had a vote.
Yeah.
You don't have to vote the way I voted. You get to do your own research. And that really bothers me that these congressmen and women are voting for someone who they think could be a good Supreme Court justice. And then she is saying they're pro-pedophile.
Like, I don't know how people...
What the hell?
Are we in junior high
using really, really disgusting terms?
There almost needs to be... You know, like in professional sports, when somebody does something really outside the lines, even in their personal life, you know, it's like, you're going to get a fined up the ass for that. I think there should be that with Congress as well. You go out and you say really crazy, offensive shit that's not accurate or real or factual and is just like a slur at somebody. You should be fined extensively for that. But it doesn't, there's nothing in place. And I don't know how you'd actually judge that. Maybe you have like just a committee that's not in Congress. It's not a Congress votes on a thing. It's just like an impartial thing.
Ideally, that would be awesome. But the world is not like that.
I know.
I just think we need to get back to where we realize we might not agree on everything, but go to the lowest common denominators. You know, puppies are cute. Like we can agree on certain things. Like, maybe you like ice cream and I like ice cream. Let's start there. But I just think that we go to ugly and mean, and that's a really ugly, mean thing to say. Why not just say, I don't agree with these senators, and here are the reasons I find her not qualified for this job.
That's how it used to be done. It used to be done with, like, facts. Now it's third grade, and who can say the worst thing about the other person? What I'm scared of is at some point it is going to be both sides going at it like children. I mean, usually
they're like that right now.
Kind of, but one side is the one that goes with more extreme, insults, if you will.
I'll say one side, but one wing of that.
Yeah, with one wing of that, we'll go with more extreme insults. And there really isn't an equal on the other side. Now, there's plenty of crazy ideas on the other side that just don't make any sense. I'm not pro either side. I'm just looking at it in the middle of, like, how is everyone behaving? Like, here's the kids in the classroom. There's this group over here and there's that group over there. And when one side is yelling the insults, the other side's not quite yelling back the insults yet. They're just doing a bunch of crazy shit over in the corner. And then it's like, oh shit, now they're going to start arguing. And that's when things, I think, can get really, really bad. Like, we think it's bad now. There's other countries where they do regularly break into physical fights in their halls of Congress. And sometimes it gets very, very violent. And it's just accepted as that's just how they do business. We've been the country that really hasn't gone down that road in modern times. You know, go way back. Yeah, there's fucking duels and shit. But in modern times, we haven't done that yet. I'm waiting for it. I think 2022 is a ripe year for it.
It's some crazy shit. But when I read one of those, I don't remember which one I read first this week. I was like, that creeps me out. Like, to say that. And then when I read the second one, I'm like, she's the creepiest person this week.
It's fucked up.
Yeah.
No. Congratulations, Marjorie Taylor Greene, for... I don't think she would pass a psychological evaluation. I really don't. Matthew Coleman's wife says he got significantly more paranoid while researching QAnon before child murders. Here's an interesting thing on this, because Marjorie Taylor Greene, speaking of which, she's a proud QAnon supporter.
Uh-huh.
Now, here's an interesting thing I was thinking of earlier. Now, we don't know who QAnon is, and it's probably likely multiple people at this point in time. But the way that this sort of thing gets supported, and the sort of horrible things that we've seen come out of it, people's actions... who were not mentally well, doing horrible shit based on people just making shit up. There's a story of what was the girl who basically told her boyfriend or encouraged him that killing himself was the right thing to do.
Oh, I can't think of her name, but she's got the big eyebrows.
Yeah. And there's a dramatization of it on Hulu.
I think there's a show.
Yeah. Her. Now, if we can charge people for that, for influencing people to do something that's completely fucking insane, maybe there should be, if there was some way, accountability from groups like this that end up, you know, influencing people like Matthew Coleman to do the shit that he did. And at some point, you're kind of supporting that shit. Well, yeah, there should be some consequences for, I don't know. I mean, if I don't know. All bets are off as to what's going on. I don't know what the answer is. But the fact that this sort of thing can happen, that there's this much craziness, that you can get someone to believe these conspiracy theories to this extent is horrifying. I mean, it really is. And there's so many levels to QAnon. And I've done like a super deep dive into it. But as much as I have, it's like an onion. But it doesn't end. It just keeps going.
It's almost like, let's see if we can get people to believe this.
It is. It's like it's one upping each other. It's like a rap battle or diss battle. Like, who can go worse? And like, one starts here and then you can go there. And then maybe that's as far as you want to dig into this. And then if you sit there and watch the whole fucking performance, it goes and goes and goes and goes and goes. And before you know it, it's like people are fucking animals, and there's the pizza parlor that's the the sex cult or whatever the fuck they think it is.
No, it was child trafficking or something like that. Yeah. Hillary Clinton was doing it.
And that poor pizza place. I've seen so many stories on it where they're just like, so many people come here and they like demand to try and get into our basement. it's like, oh my God. Oh my God. I don't know. I never thought our world would be here as a child. I mean, it was unfathomable that we could get this stupid. In the months before Matthew Coleman was arrested for allegedly killing his children, he began investigating conspiracy theories with his wife, Abby, new court documents allege. Remember when, like, looking at conspiracy theories was fun, you know? It used to be, like, kind
entertaining.
Of...
entertaining.
It was like, you know, like, who shot Kennedy or this or that? Like, and I believe some things are like that, but... it used to be fun and it didn't go this deep. In an affidavit filed last week in the San Diego federal court, authorities offer the most detailed account yet of Coleman's activities before the killings, alleging that he was descending into paranoia, fueled in part by QAnon conspiracy theories. The affidavit alleges that Abby, 35, told investigators that she and Matthew had begun researching QAnon theories together. That's a good husband and wife activity. And that Matthew had become convinced that the Illuminati had infiltrated his friends, his church, and even his home. That's when you say, honey, it's time to turn the computer off. Investigators continue to treat Abby as a victim in the case, but the affidavit alleges that she shared at least some of Matthew's interest in QAnon and texted her husband Instagram memes about the satanic elite. But Abby allegedly told investigators that her husband's interest was deeper than hers and that he grew significantly more paranoid as the summer of 2021 continued. You got to take a little responsibility here for watering the plant of insanity. In an FBI criminal complaint obtained by People last August, Coleman allegedly told police that he was motivated by the QAnon conspiracy theory, which falsely claims President Donald Trump has secretly been battling a cabal of Satan-worshipping pedophiles at the highest levels of political power and influence. Authorities believe that these beliefs may have eventually led to the death of Coleman's two children. Here's my question about... the whole idea that Donald Trump was sent to battle this sort of thing. On August 7th, the Colemans were packing for a family trip. Authorities allege that Coleman abruptly put his two kids, Kalo 2 and Roxy, 10 months, into his van and drove away from their Santa Barbara, California home. Abby called police out of concern. According to the FBI's report, she told authorities that she and her husband had not been arguing and that there was no marital strife. She told cops that she did not believe that the children were in any danger and that she thought Coleman would eventually return home with the kids. Okay, so your husband, without announcing anything, gets the kids, puts them in the car, and drives away for days. And he's really fueled up on these conspiracy theories, and you continue to text him memes about it.
And like...
even in a good marriage, that's not normal.
No.
It's not normal for one to not say anything, take the kids and leave. That's not normal in any fucking situation.
Where are you with the kids? Or why? Yeah. Number one, why am I not with you and the kids?
Yeah, exactly.
That's just weird.
But police say Coleman didn't return and instead drove the children into Mexico. 2 days later, authorities allege he took the kids to a ranch where he killed them with a spearfishing gun and returned to his hotel a few hours later. He was arrested when he attempted to cross the border back into the United States. He allegedly told agents that while he was in Mexico, he had laid in bed seeing all the pieces being decoded like the Matrix, and that he was Neo. He said visions and signs revealed that his wife, AC, possessed serpent DNA. M. Coleman mentioned that he was not sure if his wife was a shapeshifter and had passed it on to his children, and that all things were pointing to the idea that his children have corrupt DNA that will spread if something is not done about it. One of Coleman's childhood friends tells People that the sudden violence is still hard to fathom. They both always talked about hidden meanings and conspiracy theories, but nothing really alarming, the friend says. If the Bible numerology and other things like that, it just seems that he went further than she did. Coleman is being held in federal prison without bond. He has pled not guilty to murder charges.
His attorneys have not returned People's call for comment. And this is obviously from People.
I'm amazed that he could be like laying in bed and like putting things together like The Matrix, because even the people who wrote The Matrix have to admit it made no sense. Like,
Matthew Coleman figured it out.
Like, the movie made no sense.
No, the whole meaning of the...
Especially that last one. Like, I'm like, watched that going, what did I just see? But, so if you know he's having issues anyway, like, but it makes me think her thinking was so twisted like his was.
That's what
I... Nobody was thinking about the kids and what was right for them.
No.
So sad.
I'm interested to learn more about how that all went down over there. I'm not saying she's guilty. I don't know. I but it feels like...
I would think maybe there's some negligence on her part. Because yeah. I don't think she had any... You know, I don't know that she had any idea he was going to do what he did.
Yeah.
Because what he did was so horrific. I can't imagine...
Yeah.
Even like going, oh, he's going to do that. Okay. I mean, no.
Yeah.
You wouldn't. But
you know,
the fact that those are small children, he's unstable.
Yeah.
But then she's unstable too, it sounds like.
Mm-hmm.
Could she really advocate and protect those kids? I don't know. Maybe she wasn't capable of it herself. Is that an excuse? Yeah. Absolutely not. She's a mom. And those kids should have come first.
When he seemed to be a bit off the rails, that's when you got to start watching for your kids' well-being.
Oh, my God. You watch for your kids' well-being every single day, every second of every hour of every day.
You should.
You're a parent.
Unfortunately, that sometimes needs to be reminded to people. And I think some are simply not capable mentally of handling that. And I don't know. It seems like there were some interesting... codependence going on there. I don't know. But I can understand a bit where it's like, I wouldn't have thought this was going to happen today or ever. And you're at the end of that day and you're like, holy shit, what the fuck did that person just do? And you're just kind of blown away and you would have never have guessed it. And you're just kind of like, okay, well, now we got to do something. Because it does happen and people snap and people have moments that are, you know, not remotely sensible. Does it dismiss it? No, not at all. But it does happen and, you know, it can be terrifying. So I don't know. It's hard. I don't know enough about any of this. None of us do to really judge exactly where she was at in this.
As the mom, though, I would think she would just have to feel so much guilt.
And like, you know, and
could I have done something? What could I have done? Yeah. Because I think any parent anyone who loses someone in a situation where it's like, could I have done this? Mm-hmm. We all live with regret, but when it involves the death of your children, I can't imagine. Like I would think you would just be constantly like, what could I have done? Why didn't I see it? Why didn't, you know?
Yeah. Well, paranoia.
2020 is what they say. And in her case, maybe she was so wrapped up in that she didn't think any of that was possible.
Paranoia can make people do crazy shit. And if you're not the one that's paranoid and you don't really understand what, you know, the other person is the depth of that paranoia. Yeah. You won't quite understand the depths that they will go until you see them do it. You're like, oh shit. They're like, really paranoid. And sometimes, you know, someone doesn't demonstrate that forever. You know, there's just little bits and pieces and you think, oh, it's under control, you know, this or that. And then it just, you know, it runs rampant suddenly and it's like, whoa, back the fucking truck up. But a lot of times once that happens, it's gone too far. So, Utah man allegedly runs over and kills wife in airport parking garage while under the influence. So are we thinking this is accidental or like, I'll never take another vacation with you again. Sean Sturgeon told police he accidentally ran over his wife at the Salt Lake City International Airport on Monday. A Utah man is facing a vehicular homicide charge after allegedly running over and killing his wife at a local airport. Sean Sturgeon, 38, ran over his wife while driving an SUV in the short-term parking garage at the Salt Lake City International Airport. A release from the police said, adding that the pair had just come back from a vacation. The Salt Lake City Police Department added that in the release that airport police dispatch was alerted to a collision Monday afternoon. Local officers immediately responded to the scene where they found Charlotte Sturgeon, 29, who had suffered critical injuries. She was taken to the hospital where she died, despite life-saving efforts being performed on the scene at the airport and at the hospital, the release said. Police later discovered Sean allegedly ran over Charlotte in the parking garage before driving his SUV with his wife critically injured inside to the airport parking payment booth where he asked for help. Officers from Salt Lake City Police Department's airport division reached Sean before he was able to leave. Police also said that since Sean drove from the garage to the payment booth, they're investigating both sites as crime scenes. He was arrested on one count of automobile homicide, criminal negligence, DUI of alcohol and drugs. Salt Lake City Police Department tells people that it has no further information to provide. A police report said that Sean appeared to be drunk during the incident as his eyes were glassy and bloodshot and the smell of alcohol was coming from his car. ABC4 reports once in custody, Sean said, he ran my wife over, killed my wife, and I accidentally ran her over, according to the outlet. Per ABC4, footage of the scene shows Sean putting their young child in the back seat before getting in the driver's seat. At the time, Charlotte stood at the back passenger door. Sean then reversed the car, allegedly hitting his wife and dragging her 10 feet. Sean was then seen getting out of the car and putting Charlotte in the passenger seat. Salt Lake City Police also addressed the incident in its official Twitter page and added photos from the scene. And they're also releasing a coloring book for kids showing the scene. So you can teach them, look out for daddy if he's had some of those grown-up sodas and mom's next to the car. And there's a connect the dots. There's a little maze and also some really fun coloring pages that the Salt Lake City Police will be releasing to elementary schools and at Walmart checkouts.
That's some fucked up shit.
Yeah.
It kind of sounds like he was just, you know, maybe he was doing drugs and drinking. It was so high.
It sounds like he was drunk.
But there's a kid involved.
Yeah.
There was a kid in
Thank God
car.
The kid was in the car and he wasn't like in mom's arms.
Oh my God.
This does sound like probably an accident, but
I just,
because
maybe
of alcohol.
It wasn't, but it like, if they just got back from the trip, I'm like, God bless her. You know, she'd probably been dealing with this drunk guy on the plane and for hours.
Yeah. Well, what
and
I
then
think
she's like, finally, we're home.
What's
and
gonna,
then how did he end up driving?
Well, here's what I think is going to be interesting to take a look at is where was he overserved? How was he overserved? Because all that's going to be on camera, whether it be from the fucking plane or whether it be from the bars in the airport, and all that's going to be examined in this case. And whoever fucking overserved him,
and it should be,
is also fucked. Because that's going to, this is why you don't overserve. But the thing is, I mean, depending on where you're at, some states are stricter than others. There's plenty of places that I'd say most places will overserve and not do shit and nothing ever happens. You know, there's no repercussions to those locations. You know, the only time it seems that there's ever is if it's like a real scuzzy bar and people are constantly.
Yeah, a friend of mine, his son was killed by a drunk driver and they went back to the bar she'd been hanging out at. And the person, the bartender ended up in jail and the owner ended up having to sell the business. Mm-hmm. But the bartender, I think, was in jail for 2 years.
Wow.
Because the person sat at the bar the whole night and she knew that she was really, really drunk. And she offered a ride home and she refused the ride. She got in her car and she drove off. And
well,
they charged them both.
That's an interesting one. If she was offered the ride home, that's where it's, you know, maybe there should be another step there of, okay, either you take the ride home or there will be an officer waiting for you by your car when you try
and get
in.
She should have called the cops and said, look, I can't get her to stop. She's leaving the bar right now. Yep. You need to do something.
That would,
and instead she killed my friend's son. And the other person is, I think, a paraplegic.
Wow.
But we'll never walk again.
Yeah.
And it's just so sad. And so I think you do need to look back. Like when someone's that drunk, if they just got back, that means they'd been flying, they'd been traveling. Like, and you shouldn't have like open bottles of liquor on a plane. So,
no, I mean,
and did they sneak it in there?
I don't know. They'll fucking serve you on an airplane. I mean, if you're not, I mean, the thing is, it's pretty much what you want. As long as you're not acting belligerent or doing anything horrible, they'll serve you. Fuck. I mean, I had a long flight once and I wanted just vodka on the rocks, and the little tiny one shot bottle is not going to last very long, and the drink cart's not coming back for another 2 hours. So I think I was like 22 at the time. I got 3 bottles of vodka in one sitting and they gave them to me, and I drank them, and I slowly sipped on it throughout the flight. But was I overserved at that moment? Probably. If I were to slam that, yeah, definitely. I didn't.
Well,
but who's to say I wouldn't have, you know?
If he was doing drugs, he might have only had like one drink.
Yeah. But I don't know. This
is just really hard to tell, it's just,
this sounds like just belligerently
horrific,
drunk,
you know? Yeah. I just, I feel so bad for her family. And
yeah. And I mean, this is, it's horrible. And what do you do, you know, with someone like that? Cause he's got a kid. He's the only parent left. This was probably accidental, but it was caused by his negligence.
Yeah.
So, two security officers arrested last week after allegedly trying to poison their supervisor. Ooh. According to WSAV-TV, number one for reporting on crazy shit in offices, the 47-year-old Andrew Dottie and 30-year-old Hunter Howard were working in the Sea Island community, a vacation area near the Atlantic Ocean. Then, allegedly, they placed eye drops in the security supervisor's coffee maker. Another coworker of theirs reportedly stopped the supervisor before he drank the coffee and suffered any bodily damage. According to WSAV, an ingredient used in the eye drops can potentially cause harm when ingested in high amounts. Well, they were only trying to poison him with Visine? The ingredient can reportedly cause sleepiness, low blood pressure, extreme slowing of the heart rate. When consumed via mouth, the eye drops may result in toxicity or death. Really? I didn't know that eye drops could do that.
Maybe they're like some pharmaceutical level eye drops.
I can't imagine Visine has that power, but maybe I'm wrong. On Friday, March 18th, Doty and Howard were arrested and booked into Beaufort County Detention Center. Records show they were reportedly charged with tampering with human drug product or a food item with the intent to do bodily harm to a person. Howard and Doty were released on $5,000 bond, WSAV reports. According to WRAL, we're a hell of a lot better than WSAV. Those guys suck ass. Howard and Doty could face up to 20 years in prison for the felony charge. Wow.
Maybe, too, it's something that they just heard. It's like, did you know that if you put Visine, like if you don't put it in your eyeballs and you like drink it, it will kill you. Maybe they just heard that. And they're like, that's what we're going to do.
I'm looking it up. How Visine can kill.
Because it just seems a Visine could go in your eyes. That's not that far of a stretch from it going into your mouth.
This is an older story. On Thursday, Lena Sue Clayton was sentenced to 25 years in prison for voluntary manslaughter. Former Veterans Affairs nurse and South Carolina resident had pled guilty of putting Visine eye drops in her husband's drink. She didn't just have bad aim. She admitted to doing this deliberately, and her husband, Stephen Clayton, ended up passing away after 3 days. So, holy shit, Visine can kill. Wow.
What?
I... that just is amazing to me.
It seemed like you could put it in your eyes, like it's being like, I don't know. It just doesn't seem like it's that far off from your throat or your nasal passage or weird.
I don't know. And there's like conflicting reports because it's the internets. And some say the chemical used to get the red out in your eyes is safe when ingested. There was that story of the woman who did that, but I don't know. You can't believe everything you read. This is what this article says. God. Well, there you go. I don't know. I mean, I think the best bet, don't drink Visine. But shit.
Because we don't know.
Well, I can't imagine if we did know. It's like, no, it's completely fine. Shit, I'm going to go have a shot of Visine between our recording here this evening. Why don't you go get some of yours? I got the extra strength to really get the red out. But wow. Well, that's interesting. Visine. Shit. That's kind of scary.
If it's true.
If it's true, like slowly poison someone with eye drops, who would ever fucking guess, you know? That's a weird one. Wow. There you go. Well, now we all learned something new about Visine, kids. What's weird to me is that...
Or did we?
I don't know. We don't know what's real anymore. Now do we? It's 2022! Anyway, that's going to wrap up the program. If you like the show, be sure to check out our Patreon page, darksidepod.com. Go there and you can support the show, get advanced episodes, bonus episodes. It's all there for you, all commercial free. And be sure to press subscribe wherever you download podcasts. You don't miss any episodes of the program. Until next time, for Carol, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Dark Side of...